Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast, a safe space for honest, transparent, authentic, and real life gist about being a mother, African style. I am your hostess with the mostest, Berry Dakara, and I'm here to share the unique experiences of being an African mother. Thank you for tuning in. Oya, drop the kids, get comfy, and make we start. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter weekend. Mine was kind of down, then up, then down, then up. I posted on Instagram that I was pretty sick. Actually, for about 4 or 5 days, I was pretty sick. I had a headache for like 5 days that would just not go away. I was drinking water, taking medicine, sleeping a lot, and this headache would just not leave. And let me be honest, for a little bit there, I was like, come on, I hope I've not caught this thing. Because one of the symptoms a lot of people said was that they had headaches that would just not leave. I also had a little bit of trouble with breathing and had to use my asthma inhaler. But on Saturday, I ended up calling a doctor who said, after I told her what the symptoms were, she said that it just sounded like a sinus infection and it was nothing to worry about. She was telling me that I should go and quarantine. And in my mind, I'm like, Auntie, I've been quarantining for the past 6 weeks, okay? So you don't need to tell me anything more. But yeah, so that was my Easter. I spent a lot of time just sleeping, and I guess my body just really needed time to get over this little bit of sickness. But I feel a lot better now. I'm not 100%, but I'm a lot better than last week. So I just thank God for healing. Anyways, this is episode 36. This is actually the second time that I am recording it. I recorded it last week, but after playing it back and listening to it, I just didn't quite like how it came out. Like, it just seemed a little bit flat, and I wanted, you know, to add a little bit more oomph and a little bit more pizzazz. So this is take two. Actually, it's take three. Take three, I was interrupted by, I think, my little madame. So, but now she's taking a nap. So let's see if we can get through this take three much better. Like I said, this is episode 36, and I'm going to be talking about my high-risk pregnancy. By the way, if I haven't introduced myself, my name is Berry Dakara, and welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Okay, so I think 2 or 3 episodes ago, I was talking about public pregnancy announcements, and I shared how I publicly announced that I was pregnant in 2017. And I briefly mentioned that 2 or 3 days after I announced my pregnancy, I was admitted in the hospital. And while recording that episode, or right after recording that episode, it dawned on me that I never actually shared on my blog or on YouTube that my pregnancy was high risk. And I thought that this would be a good enough time to let you guys know what happened with my pregnancy. So I hope you, enjoy listening to this episode and maybe learn a little bit of something from it. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so if you don't know the background story, here it is. My husband and I had been trying to get pregnant in 2016 for about a year and a half, and it just wasn't working out. In April of 2016, I came out publicly with a video on YouTube talking about the process. We had gone through an IUI, which is an intrauterine insemination. It's similar to IVF, but it's instead of, you know, putting the sperm and the eggs together like in a petri dish or, you know, outside of the woman, the sperm was put directly into my uterus. But unfortunately, even after all the money that we spent and, you know, me believing that it was going to work, unfortunately, it just didn't work. And it was very, very, It was quite hard. It was really hard in that period, and I went through I think maybe 2 weeks plus or so of just being really depressed. While trying to get pregnant, I got a lot of unsolicited advice about what I need to do to get pregnant. Someone like different people had different things to say. Someone recommended taking some pills, which for me, I'm like, okay, you're not a pharmacist, you're not my doctor. I don't know why you're recommending, pills like these kind of like heavy grade pills for me to take. I had someone else who also said that maybe I wasn't enjoying sex as much as I could, which for me was just really, really laughable because if you look at it, a lot of pregnancies are not coming out because people are having, orgasms, because women are having orgasms during sex. If pregnancy required that women had orgasms, then guess what? The world would not be as populated as it is right now. Yes, I said it because that's just the simple truth. But yeah, I just had different people telling me different things. I was told to put, a handkerchief under my bed. I was told to drink this. I was told to pay this person to pray for me and just all kinds of things. But whatever all the advice was, it just nothing worked. I didn't do half of the things that they told me to, though. I mean, come on. But that's the background there. It was we were trying and trying and trying, and it just wasn't happening. Fast forward to October 2016. My husband sent a text message while I was at work saying that he doesn't think we should try for a child anymore. Not that we shouldn't try, but that we should put things on hold. And to be honest, I was quite surprised when he sent that message, but I guess I thought about it like, we've been under a lot of stress right now. Like, we had just moved from Nigeria back to the US, and so things were just kind of stressful. So I figured, okay, no problem. We will stop trying. And yeah, that was the end of October 2016. So we stopped trying. Fast forward to 3 weeks later. I was at church for a program, and while praying, I clearly heard God telling me the name that I was going to name my child whenever I did get pregnant. And I think I talked about it briefly in I can't remember which episode, but it's I'm talking about naming your children. I think I mentioned it. But in that church service, God clearly spoke to me and told me the name that he planned for us to give to our child. And then I was like, okay, I know that God is going to give us our pregnancy, give us our baby eventually. I just don't know when, but we shall stop trying. And then 3 weeks after that, I found out that I was actually pregnant at that time. It was very surprising because it was like, wait, so I thought we had said we were going to stop trying. And the funny thing was, the summer of that year, one day while just cleaning my bedroom, God spoke to me and said, by the time you get pregnant, you will know that it was all me and nobody else. And so when I found out that I was pregnant, like the thing just really hit me like, wow, we had actually both decided that we were going to stop trying, and now God has performed, right? Like, God has given us this miracle, right? So, I mean, everybody was happy. We had the pregnancy announced, well, announced to our family members, which is on YouTube. You can check for Berry Dakara pregnancy announcement, I mean, pregnancy reveal. And so, I mean, we were all happy, the family was happy, and everything. And my pregnancy, for the most part, was pretty easygoing. However, the first OBGYN appointment that I went to, I was told that I had an incompetent cervix, right? They said that my pregnancy was high risk for three reasons. One was that I had an incompetent cervix, which meant that my cervical tissue was not strong enough, and I had the risk of premature birth or are loss of my pregnancy. Another reason why they said that my pregnancy was high risk was because at the time of my appointment, I was just at 200 pounds. And I guess being over 200 pounds just, automatically puts you in that high risk category. And the third reason why they said my pregnancy was high risk was because at the time of delivery, like my due date, I was going to be over 35 years old. So all of these three things combined just told them that my pregnancy was high risk. And I was told from the get-go that I would need to take things easy, which was my plan. Once I got that information from the OBGYN, I told my boss at the time to let her know, I'm like, listen, I'm pregnant, too, and here's what the doctors have said. And this chick, God bless whoever she is, she was like, oh, well, I mean, your duties are your duties, so I can't really do anything about them. Like, you're still gonna have to work the way you're working. I'm like, listen, I'm not saying I don't want to work. I do want to work, okay? But I just need to be off my feet as much as possible. And she said, well, I need to get a doctor's note for me to be able to do anything. And I said, sure, no problem. So I got this letter from the OBGYN. I went to the OBGYN and asked for a letter stating that, I would need to have certain restrictions at work, which they gave to me, stating that I had to take breaks, like certain breaks every I think hour, every 2 hours or so. They also stated that I couldn't be on my feet for more than I think 30 minutes or an hour at a time, and that I would need to keep my feet propped up as much as possible. So I got this letter and I gave it to my manager, who was like, well, I mean, I see what the letter is saying here, but it's not giving me a timeline. And I'm like, are you kidding? It states there that I'm at risk of premature meaning up until when I am full term. Like, it doesn't, I mean, come on, that's common sense. She's like, yeah, no, I need to see an actual date. Okay, I shall went back to the OBGYN. I got a second letter that stated, Barry is under the risk of preterm labor up until she's 36 weeks, which is at this date. I gave it to the manager. She said, okay. But there was still a lot of like grumbling in, following the letters to details. She was just really, really hard to work with. I'll tell you a story afterwards, like when everything was said and done. But so I get this letter and, I was really trying my best to follow, the instructions and not being on my feet for a long time, not stressing myself, putting my feet up as much as I could, drinking the water and all of that. And things seemed to be going fine. There was the option, I thought there would be the option of having a cerclage done, which is where I believe they like tie up the cervix, or like they put something in to, close up the cervix. But the OBGYN that I went to didn't want to go that route. They wanted to see if my cervix would close up on its own, and were just pushing me as far as I could to see if we could avoid that option, which, I mean, was fine for me. So let's see, when I first spoke to my manager, I think I was like 3 months pregnant at the time. So every other week when I would go back to the doctor, they would check my cervix. They would say, like things seem okay. They could be better, but we can still manage, right? This happened up until I was 6 weeks pregnant. I went after work. Actually, I went with my cousin after work to one of my appointments. And at this appointment, the nurse who was checking me said, oh, I'm coming. And then she went to go get the doctor. The doctor came back and I'm like, sorry, your cervix is too open. It looks like you might have this child any day now. So yeah, we have to admit you right now. And I'm just like, what? So like, yeah, we have to admit to you, sorry, you cannot go home. And at this point, I was just weak. There are a few things that went through my mind. First of all, my sister had had the same incompetent cervix issue. And when she was pregnant with her first child, at about the same, like, I think it was 5 months or so, she went for her OBGYN appointment. And they told her she couldn't go home because she was at risk of having the baby like any day. And she ended up in the hospital for 3 months, as in from the end of December up until like the end of March. She was literally in the hospital. She couldn't leave that hospital room at all. So the same thing happening to me just. Going for this appointment and then them telling me that I couldn't go home, I was just like, Jesus, like, are you telling me that I'm gonna have to be in this same predicament too? That was one thing. Number two, my husband was in Nigeria at this point, so it was like, yeah, like, who would I have to stand on, like, emotional support and everything? Like, I was not ready for any of this. So that day, I was with my cousin at the hospital. She drove me over to where I was going to be admitted. Of course, I called my husband to let him know what was happening. I called my mom. My mom was scheduled to go to Nigeria that week or the week after, but she decided to just delay her flight for a little bit just to see, how long I'd be in the hospital for. I called my siblings, I called my friends, my aunties. Just to say, hey, this is what's happening, please, everybody, let's start praying. So that first time I was admitted, I was in a hospital room. Several doctors would come checking on me. They ran a test that would check how likely it was for me to have a baby in the next 48 hours. And this test came back positive that the baby could come within the next 48 hours. And I'm just like, see, nope, I refuse to believe that. My child is not coming now. She's going to come at 36 weeks plus. This is not going to happen to me. And the doctors were like, yeah, but the test said, I'm like, I'm happy what the test said, but no. There was this one particular doctor. So that first time I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. There was this one particular doctor who every single day would come into my hospital room and say, hey, how are you feeling? I'm fine. Are you in any pain? No. Are you contracting? No. Okay, but your baby's coming soon, right? I'm like, uncle, no, my baby's not coming soon. Yes, but the test said. I'm like, I'm happy what the test said, but my baby's not coming soon. This guy was not the most optimistic person. And the funny thing about it is, when my sister was in hospital, I think 5 years before, during her 3 month stay, this same doctor had seen her as well. So she had kind of warned me about him that the exact same thing happened with her. He would always come and tell her, oh, your baby's coming, your baby's coming, your baby's coming. And it was up to her to, like, no, the baby won't come now. No, the baby won't come now. So every time he walked in, I was just ready for this guy. Like, uncle, I'm happy for everything that you're saying, but my child is not coming anytime soon. So that was just our little back and forth. Another funny thing that happened was other doctors would come in and they would see me and be like, you look kind of familiar. And I would have to explain to them that actually it's not me. It was my sister who had been in the hospital 5 years prior. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, they remember that case. It was just really kind of funny. There was another nurse who, after I think 3 or 4 days, she pulled me aside and was like, do you have any family member that was in the hospital, for something similar as well? And I told her yes. I was like, oh, how did you know? She's like, well, because every time I come in the mornings, you're like reading your Bible and then you have like a praise and worship thing going on. And I remember that your mom and your sister always were reading the Bible whenever I would come in. So I just kind of put two and two together, and then you kind of look alike and everything. I was like, yeah. So what I did in those 2 weeks of being in the hospital as kind of like a coping mechanism, I guess, was every morning when I woke up, I would go have a shower, which I had to do sitting down. I couldn't stand up per doctor's or orders. So after I had a shower, I had gotten my makeup and everything with me to the hospital. So I would get my hair done. I would do my makeup, like full makeup with foundation and everything. I would do my makeup while sitting down in front of the bathroom mirror. I would do my hair while singing along to like Roncannoli or like Hillsong or something. Just having like a full on praise and worship session by myself in the hospital room just to keep my spirits up. And it was something that I needed to do, and I did, on a daily basis. While also in the hospital, to be honest, Chad, there were times where I felt down. The one thing that made me feel down the most was the hospital food. Not because it was bad. It's just that after, I think, 3 days of eating this hospital food, and with me being very picky, I could only eat certain things for like breakfast and like for dessert. So every time they would bring the menu in, like, hey, miss, so this is the menu for today. Can you select what you want? I would literally like burst into tears and start crying. And they would all like, oh my God, what's going on? Are you okay? I'm like, I just don't want to eat this food anymore. Like, I'm tired. I want to go home. Oh my gosh. Listen, that hospital stay was just, it wasn't, it really, really wasn't fun. Another thing with the hospital stay was because I was supposed to be, at this point, they said I had to be on bed rest. So that's why I couldn't stand up. I also couldn't go outside, which for me is a big deal, right? They said that I could go outside for 30 minutes once a week, and I had to go in a wheelchair. And this was just, it was one of the hardest things to do. Although with this whole quarantine and pandemic and everything, I remember joking with my sister last week that Como, with you being on bed rest for 3 months and like stuck in your hospital bedroom, and with me being on bed rest when I was pregnant with Coco, like this quarantine should kind of be easy for us because we've had practice. Like we've had practice, being forced in to stay in. Like even like she was in a hospital room for the entire 3 months. I at least was in the hospital for 2 weeks at first, and then I was able to go home. And I could be in, I was just like confined to like the house. So this quarantine should not be a big deal for me because I've had the practice. So let's see, after 2 weeks of being in the hospital that first time, the doctors now determined that okay, it doesn't look like your baby is coming in the 48 hours that the test keeps saying. So okay, you can go home, but you cannot leave your bedroom. So what my mom did, luckily I told my mom, had decided to postpone her trip to Nigeria. So what she did, and this was just amazing, she moved a microwave up to my bedroom, and I had access to the fridge upstairs. So before she went to work in the mornings, she would make sure that my breakfast and lunch were already upstairs so that I wouldn't need to climb the stairs for any reason at all. And every morning I would wake up, my breakfast would be there ready. When I was ready to eat, just put it in the microwave, eat it and everything. And then when she got home for like lunchtime, she would make sure that I had my food and everything. My mom really did so much for me, honestly. Honestly, honestly, honestly. And this went on, I think, up until May. She then determined that she was going to go back to Nigeria because she needed to go back to Nigeria for something, I can't remember. And at this point, I had moved to my sister's house
during one of my next visits after going to my sister's house. I went for my OBGYN visit and they said, yeah, sorry, your cervix is opening again. You have to be admitted again. At this point, I was just like, okay, I just don't even know anymore. And I was admitted to the hospital for the second time, and this time I stayed for 1 week, during which that period was Mother's Day. So my first Mother's Day, I was in the hospital just being down and feeling sorry for myself, like, wow, I can't believe it. It's my first Mother's Day. I mean, my baby wasn't there yet. I was pregnant, but you know, it was just like, wow, my first Mother's Day, kind of. And I'm sitting down here in this hospital room by myself. But my brother came over to the hospital and got me flowers and I think got me food, so that brightened my day. But at this point, I think I was about 7 months pregnant or so. Yeah, about 7 months pregnant. So I was in the hospital for 1 week at that time and then was released and, you know, put on strict bed rest. I could not leave my bedroom at all. My sister wasn't as strict with me as my mom in that she would let me come downstairs once a day. So once I woke up and came downstairs, like that was it for the entire day. I would stay downstairs, watch TV and all of that, and then at the end of the day, go upstairs. Whereas when I was in my mom's house, my mom would not even let me leave my room at all, period. So, let's see. I was at my sister's house up until the week before the baby came. At this point, I was 34 weeks, and my husband came back from Nigeria. This whole time, with the threat of, you know, the preterm labor and everything, I had just been praying that at least let the baby wait until one, my husband came home and my mom came home, because I just didn't want to have the baby before any of them were around. And I was really pushing for 36 weeks. I really was. However, let's see, my husband came back when I was 34 and a half weeks pregnant. My mom came back when I was 35 weeks pregnant. My mom landed on the day of my baby shower. And I kid you not, I went for my baby shower. We got home at 8 p.m. By 2 a.m., I went into labor and started having contractions. So the baby came the following day. At least I was happy that, you know, she listened to me and waited for her daddy and her grandma to come back from Nigeria before she made her grand entrance. So that was the story of, you know, my high risk pregnancy. It was really just the incompetent cervix. Although, to be honest, if it wasn't for that cervix issue, my pregnancy itself was really smooth. I didn't have any morning sickness at all. The only time I threw up was, I think I threw up just one time, and that was because I'd overeaten. I didn't have like the heartburn that most people have. Like, I just didn't have that at all. Like, I was really just generally fine. It was an easygoing pregnancy for me, but high risk according to the doctors. And to be honest, the thought of being pregnant again, in the future, kind of sometimes it scares me a little bit, because I wonder, like, now obviously I'm older, so will I still have the same, you know, high risk factor, right? And I don't know. I just don't know. But we shall see. Anyways, I don't even know if I'm gonna have another child. We'll see. But I did say that I would talk about that my boss. After I had my child, I went back to work at 7 weeks, and this chick had actually put my position up. Like, she had advertised my position up for new hire or whatever. You know, because I walked into the office and I see, you know, a sign saying we are now hiring this position, and I was like, ah, but there's only one position, you know, this particular position in this business, and I know that I didn't quit. Did you fire me? Anyway, sure, I wasn't fired. They took it down, and she, the manager, she had left anyways. But yeah, so that's my story, my high risk pregnancy story. I just thank God that everything, ended up pretty good. My daughter was born. Yes, she was premature. She was 35 weeks plus, but thankfully she didn't have to spend like a day in the NICU or anything. And like labor and delivery, yes, labor was 22 hours long, but delivery was a breeze. It was very, very easy. Like just three pushes and she came out. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to the story. Please stay tuned for the next episode of this podcast. You're going to really, really, really enjoy it. I look forward to even listening to it again myself. Thank you again for listening. Please check out the Mommy OYOYO website. I finally put something up online. You can go to www.mommyoyoyo.com, which is MommyOYOYO.com. And if you have any suggestions for topics that you'd like to hear, definitely send me an email. You can send an email to mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me on Instagram at BerryDakara or at MommyOyoyo as well. Thank you again for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. You guys stay safe, wash your hands, and stay indoors. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy OYOYO podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy OYOYO, which is MommyOYOYO. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy OYOYO podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy OYOYO podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy OYOYO podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy OYOYO, Mommy OYOYO, Mommy OYOYO. See you next time.